And now, the Sandhills' number one morning show, Mornings with the Leader Man, here on Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. And heard and seen around the world at talk973.com.
The best part of waking up is waking up with us.
Love to eat turkey. Love to eat turkey. Oh, I love you. Love to eat turkey, cause it's good. Love to eat turkey like a good boy should, cause it's turkey to eat. So good. Turkey for me, turkey for you. Let's eat the turkey in my big brown shoe. Love to eat the turkey at the table. I once saw a movie with Betty Grable. Eat that turkey all night long. 50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong. Turkey lurkey do and turkey lurkey dap. I eat that turkey, then I take a nap. Thanksgiving is a special night. Jimmy Walker used to say dynamite. That's right. Turkey with gravy and cranberry. Can't believe the Mets traded that old strawberry. Turkey for you. And gave that girl BD.
Good morning, Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. Welcome back to another morning of Mornings with the Leader Man. My name is Brad LaDronca, filling in for Steve the Leader Man this morning. Alongside me, as always, is Moore County's one and only Mr. Stephen Woodward. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Brad. Good morning, Leader Man. Good morning, everybody, on this wonderful Wednesday here in the beautiful Sandhills.
We have got a very special guest with us this morning here in the studio. My lovely daughter has decided to join us this morning. Good morning, Gabby. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
A star is born.
A star is born, yes. Weather for us today here in the Sandhills, we are looking at a beautiful day, probably the last nice day for at least a week or so. Highs today, 62 degrees under sunny skies. Rain's going to creep in here probably throughout the day, or I should say this evening into tomorrow. I'm still showing a 70% chance of rain, but
would you stop with that?
I can't help it. That's just what
I mean. Every other viable app on the universe says this, there's going to be very minimal chances of showers in the morning.
Okay, well, you know, if you don't like the weather in North Carolina, just wait 5 minutes. It's going to change. Lows tonight dipping down to the mid to low 50s. Weather is going to take a dramatic change starting Saturday with highs in the 40s and lows in the 20s, at least for all of next week. So we'll see if that changes or not. So,
yeah, but look at all the sunshine on the horizon.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'll take the cold weather as long as it's sunny. I escaped the north to get away from all the snow, so I'm happy to not have that.
Yes, me too. The only problem is that a lot of Northerners have followed you here, and that's a topic for another show, I guess. But anyway,
Yeah, you know, we won't talk about all the Northerners that have come down here. Some that want to stay, we call those, or I should say, my in-laws have called them damn Yankees because they haven't left.
Yeah, that's right. That's the problem. They get on I-95 and they don't turn around and go back.
I came down I-77.
Oh yeah, well,
you know,
well,
so
I came in by air.
You came in by air?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, did you do the bump this morning? And now.
No, I don't have that deep of a voice.
But you didn't do mornings with the leader man, did you? Welcome back to the most listened to show in all of the Sandhills.
I
think we just had Adam Sandler.
No, it was there.
Oh, okay.
It was there. You were walking in late, as distracted. You always do.
No, I was. Well, no, I don't know if you call it late. I call it timely.
if you're not early, you're not on time, sir.
Well, that's okay. At my pay grade, I think my arrival time is perfectly acceptable.
I can't complain. I can't complain one bit about that.
By the way, big developments overnight across the spectrum of news from Mar-a-Lago and elsewhere. I'm sure we'll get into some of that today.
We will. Excellent. We will. Yeah, we definitely will. I wanted to bring my daughter in this morning because, I think it's really important to hear from our children. What are you thankful for as we head into Thanksgiving, Gabby?
My family.
Your family? What are you looking forward to most about Thanksgiving?
I don't know, just eating.
Just eating?
Yes, I love eating.
What are you going to have to eat tomorrow?
Well, I am going to have mashed potatoes and a turkey.
Wait, stop. You said mashed potatoes?
Yes, I eat mashed potatoes.
Since when?
Since like a year ago.
No, I put them on your plate at night and you still don't eat them.
I just like the way she said that. Mashed potatoes.
Mashed potatoes.
Yes. All right, what else? What else are we having tomorrow?
We're having ham and hopefully some gravy, brown gravy.
Did you see the big old apple pie sitting on the counter that I got yesterday?
I saw it. I was like, I really want to eat it, but I can't. It's for tomorrow. It's for Thanksgiving.
So the other week, I need to tell you this story because I think it's really cool that my real estate agent texted me and a bunch of her clients and said, hey, do you want an apple pie or a pumpkin pie? And I said, I'll take an apple pie. So I went and picked it up yesterday. And I mean, they had like 100 of these things, but they went and bought Costco apple pies. And I kid you not, this thing probably weighed 10 pounds.
Nice.
And it is probably 2 foot diameter pie. This thing is absolutely massive, yeah, isn't it, Gabby?
It is really big. It's bigger than my head.
Well, that's not saying a lot, unfortunately.
Your head is very intelligent, so that's all that matters.
It is. All right, let's get into it a little bit here, Steven. So, I wanted to bring something up that I came across yesterday that was actually kind of, comical to me because throughout the run-up to the election, I have come across these advertisements. You probably hear them on Sirius XM. You hear them on our station. I know you do. The last one was GetTrumpWatches.com. Donald Trump selling watches and all this other stuff.
And I went to the website, and the watches are absolutely beautiful.
They are. Well, prior to the election, they had GetTrumpSneakers.com, mm-hmm. which my daughter wants the gold ones.
Yeah.
But yesterday, there's a report that guitar manufacturer Gibson, who makes the Les Paul, and they have a patent on the Les Paul guitar, they have sent a cease and desist order to 16 Creative, the agency behind all of these things. So apparently there is a line of Trump guitars as well that you could buy.
Oh my gosh.
And Gibson has said that the Trump guitar is too closely resembling the Les Paul body shape. So the Trump guitar sells for, they've got it both in electric and acoustic, they're $1,250 and $1,500. And then Trump has actually personally signed some of them, and those are going for $10,250 and $11,500. Are you a guitar player, Steven?
I am not. I have no musical instrument prowess, but I do like to sing in the shower, and I'm quite good at that.
I don't know about that.
What?
That you're good at singing in the shower.
Well, I'm good at singing everything everywhere, but especially in the shower, yeah. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyways, I'm giving you a look like where are we going with this today? This is turning into a train wreck already first thing this morning.
No, we're
having fun.
No, we are solidly affixed to the rails, and we're going full speed ahead.
In other news also, there's been a ceasefire that has been agreed upon between Israel and Hezbollah in Lebanon. President Biden is...
And you know what that means? That means Israel wins, the terrorists lose. To cut right to the chase.
Yeah. Well, President Biden comes out yesterday and says that he believes it's going to be a long-standing permanent ceasefire. I don't see that. And I don't think anybody else should see that, because you got to remember, Israel is fighting wars on, what's it, four fronts between Hezbollah, Hamas, the rebels in Yemen, and then Iran.
And Iran, of course, which is the mothership from which all of these other tentacles of terror emanate. So, yes.
It's... Well, and while all this is going on, Iran's Ayatollah has come out and called for Benjamin Netanyahu. God, I can't say
love
his
that name.
Love it, but I can't say it. The Ayatollah is calling for him to be executed.
Great, bring it.
For the war crime. So this Hezbollah... You know, ceasefire until all four of them kind of agree to, you know, give up and release all the hostages that were taken over a year ago. Still, there's, you know, quite a few of them.
To be exact, on October 7, 2023.
That will never be done. And speaking of wars, the other day, Trump's team has kind of come out and said in terms of Ukraine that they're going to, once they get into office, they're just going to load Ukraine to the teeth with ammunition, missiles, rockets, whatever, to, you know, fight back against Russia and absolutely crush Russia, which,
well, whatever it takes to put an end to it. I mean, that's Trump's end game is to end it, not to
escalate it, but
into perpetuity,
but to end it completely. And because right now what you're seeing is Biden is saying, oh, you know, we'll give you some stuff, but we're not going to give you some stuff. We're going to let you have these missiles, but you can't use them. Oh, now you can go ahead and use them.
It's ridiculous.
And it's just, but I mean, Russia has seen some crushing defeats. They've lost an exuberant amount of troops to the point where they had to call in these North Koreans to come in. And the funny part about that is the Ukrainians have been airdropping phones preloaded with pornographic websites on them to these North Korean soldiers. And these soldiers are getting this, and this is the first time they're seeing really anything, because let me remind you, North Korea does not allow the internet, and their people are very, very sheltered.
So what you're saying is there's a whole bunch of distracted young North Korean soldiers
that are actually
hunkered down in their tents right now.
Well, they're actually fleeing from the battlefield. They're leaving. They're saying, we don't want any part of this, because we didn't realize this whole big wide world was out here with all these things. Everything that's been told to us is a lie, so they're fleeing the entire battlefield out there. It's actually quite comical.
And where are they going, pray tell?
I don't know. Probably just disappearing off into the wilderness.
I imagine that there are some geniuses in the Biden administration who will airlift them into our country. You know, as a humanitarian effort, of course.
Of course, of course. You know, we may or may not see all this. Fox News yesterday had James Carville, or played a clip of James Carville.
I don't know how I said.
He's at it again, where he is out there placing the blame on Kamala's team for the reason she lost. Listen to this.
James Carville is smacking another double dose of common sense into her woke staffers, who cried racism and kept Harris away from doing an interview with Joe Rogan.
The vice president was thinking about going on Joe Rogan's show, and a lot of the younger progressive staffers pitched a hissy fit. I were running a 2028 campaign, and I had some little snot-nosed 23-year-old saying, I'm going to resign if you don't do this. Not only would I fire that motherfucker on the spot, I would find out who hired them and fire that person on the spot. These people who had to lose the election because of the stupidity.
It's funny because even Bill Clinton has come out in the last couple of days and kind of said, hey, you know, talking about these woke ideologies and the leftist liberal agenda didn't do anything. You guys need to talk about, you know, the middle class, things that are affecting people on a daily basis, which is what James Carville said, you know, that whole entire time.
Absolutely.
And well, and nobody wanted to listen to either one of those two.
Well, you know, there were a lot of retreads from the Obama regime directing, I think, the Harris campaign. One of them is David Plouffe, I think it is.
Hadn't heard.
It's a name you can only say if you're suffering from a speech impediment. David Plouffe. He was a guest on a show called Pod Save America. It's a podcast, Pod Save America. He's a senior advisor, or was, to the Harris campaign. And I think now you can tell that he's sort of trying to rescue his own career, because he went on this show, and here's what he said. He said of the campaign, quote, "We were hopeful. I don't know how optimistic we were, but we thought, okay, this is tied, and if a couple of things break our way, we could win." Then he goes on to say, "We didn't get the breaks we needed on Election Day. I think it surprised people because there were these public polls that came out in late September, early October, showing us with leads that we never saw." In other words, their internal polling never saw them leading, not once, not one day. And yet all we heard day after day after
what
day
was that it was tight, or
from this
Kamala
corrupt
was one, yeah,
water carrying media, was that, you know, it's tied, or Kamala's up three, or, you know, this poll, this stunning new poll just in, Trump now trails by five, and so on and so forth. They never saw any of it. They knew exactly what was going to happen on 5 November.
Well, so we had made mention the other day that Kamala had disappeared after the election. Well, Joe Biden was down at the G20 summit down in Brazil. Kamala was off, you know, taking a vacation in Hawaii.
She decided to leave the country.
But she has actually...
She said, "I'm getting out of the country. I'm going to Hawaii." Okay,
She came back finally. And her and Tim Walz actually did a thing on online yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, they did a little deal, and Kamala said, "I just have to remind you, don't let anybody take your power from you. You have the same power that you did before November 5th, and you have the same purpose that you did, and you have the same ability to engage and inspire. So don't ever let anybody or any circumstance take your power from you." Listen, and it's a video.
Did you watch that video?
I watched the video.
She looks like she'd had, it was about three Chardonnays in.
Yeah, that's and that's what everybody is posting and talking about on X, is how just awful and off and just something's not right with her. I mean,
are they just now discovering this?
No, but I mean, just in... Even from what she was while she was out campaigning, I mean, she looks absolutely terrible. I mean, like she's either been drunk, or she just rolled out of bed and threw some clothes on, and they said, "Here, we're gonna, you know, get in front of this camera and talk real quick."
Well, what was the? I wonder what they thought they were going to accomplish by returning to the public and even recording. Is she starting the 2028 campaign or what?
I don't know. You know, but it's funny. So, you know, that whole campaign is still in a tailspin, still trying to place blame on everything. Some of her staffers were on, it might have been CNN, talking about the Joe Rogan podcast.
Team Kamala is full of excuses on why the Harris-Rogan interview never happened. Members of her campaign leadership claim they wanted her to go on the popular podcast, but it's all Donald Trump's fault.
We wanted to do it. We tried to get a date to make it work, and ultimately we just weren't able to find a date. We did go to Houston, and she gave a great speech at an amazing event. We were hoping to be able to fit it in around that, and ultimately weren't able to do it. As it turns out, that was the day that Trump was taping his Joe Rogan. So, which they had never confirmed to us. We kind of figured that out in the lead up to it.
We offered to do it in Austin. People should know that. Didn't work out. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, maybe they leveraged that to get Trump in studio. I don't know.
So is Joe Rogan lying when he said that they wouldn't come to the studio and that he that they wanted him to come to her, you know, and all these other things? I mean, I believe Joe Rogan,
yeah,
over, you know, about his own, you know, podcast,
yes,
over any of these dumb
these little snowflakes who work
that who, just want to
toil
and,
on behalf of the Marxist,
yeah,
the Marxist. Harris campaign, yeah, I think we will stick with the Joe Rogan account of how that all how all the, of that went down, as they say.
Bringing it back closer to home here, news came out, or I should say, came out yesterday that Governor Roy Cooper, as expected, vetoed Senate Bill 382 yesterday.
Nice try, Roy.
The General Assembly is already set to reconvene in December one final time.
That's next week, by the way.
Presumably to override that veto. They hadn't set a date as far as when they're going to come back. But as you know, that Senate Bill 382 has hurricane relief money tied to it, as well as removing the elections oversight from the governor and transferring it to the state auditor, as well as forcing the attorney general to, you know, back some things from the.
This bill is loaded with stuff. It's beautiful. I'm
trying to remember all of it off the top of my head.
I've got it right here in front of me. I mean, I came across a wonderful distillation of all the elements of this bill, and we could go through this for, we could do a whole show on this, but it's a beautiful thing. As you go down through the nitty gritty of it, for example, it bars the Attorney General's office from participating in any legal argument that would result in a state law passed by the General Assembly becoming invalid. So it defangs people like Josh Stein and incoming AG Jeff Jackson from undermining the will of the voter as expressed by the votes cast in the General Assembly. And on Election Day, it has... wide-ranging outcomes, just practical things. Shortens the amount of time a voter has after Election Day to correct their absentee ballot from more than a week to 2.5 days. Shortens the amount of time a voter has after Election Day to present an ID and verify a provisional ballot. In other words, it seeks to end this interminable ballot counting that goes on day after day after day.
We still have that going on right now with recounts, and it's not just Jefferson Griffin and the Supreme Court race here, North Carolina Supreme Court race. I guess there's three or four other races around the state. Some of them, actually, there's one in recount right now that if it prevails the Republican way, we may still end up with the supermajority.
Right, and those are state house recounts. Here's a good one. Provisional ballots must be counted by county election officials within 3 business days after the election. Wow, what a concept. You know, in other words, don't let these provisionals float around out there day after day after day. In other words, in the case of the Jefferson Griffin Supreme Court race, you know, we would have known much more quickly what the true status of that race was under current requirements. You go further down here. Let's see, the lieutenant governor. This is a good one. I thought this was important. This bill removes the lieutenant governor, which will soon be Rachel Hunt, Democrat, from the Legislative Committee on Energy Crisis Management.
Okay.
Gotta like that. Removes the ability for the state superintendent of public instruction to appeal a final decision of the state's charter schools review board. In other words, Mo Green, the incoming Democrat, will be defanged from trying to undermine our charter school review board with in areas regarding grants and renewals. Removes the superintendent's authority over school resource officer grants, moving it to the executive director of the Center for Safer Schools. This is beautiful. This is a wonderful thing.
It's what, 300 pages, I think, in total?
Yeah.
Is that what it came out to? I mean, yeah. The school system, the public school system is broken. I don't understand how it can get fixed in this state. I mean, right now you've got, and we've just got a short time, so I can't get too deep into this. There's an article on WRIL today where Wake County Public Schools says they're going to end up $3 million short this year, and they want the state to fund them. They want the state to give them that money to make them whole.
How are they $3 million?
They're saying it's because school lunches have increased, the cost of school lunches, and that they're having to pay their lunch staff more money.
Wow, what are they serving up there in Wake County for lunch?
And because they are no longer receiving COVID relief funding.
Oh, well.
So they want the state to cover that. So my problem, you know, you're hearing some of these Democrats out there on the left that are, you know, bashing the fact of the Opportunity Scholarship getting this this tremendous bump in funding and saying that it should be used for the public schools. Well, my thing about that is, okay, if you're going to give that money to the public schools, how is that going to increase the education? What are you going to do with that money to make the public school education system better? Because if all you're going to do is give the money to the teachers to increase their pay, that does not directly mean that the students are going to learn more and be better.
Of course not.
Remember, we've got F-rated schools right here in Moore County. So if you give a teacher in that F-rated school more money, does that mean they're going to teach student better?
Principals, the whole administrative realm. Yeah, there's no merit-based pay increases in public education, and this is the problem.
No. And so it just baffles me on that. Well, we got a short bit of time here. Gabby, I want to thank you for coming in and seeing us and talking with us.
Thank you.
And Stephen, as always, we'll be back here at 8:30. Your weather is coming up next, but tune in at 8:30 as we've got a special guest calling in. Her name is Marianne Keene.